In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. So one day a man dies and he meets St. Peter at the pearly gates into heaven. And Peter asks the man what he did on earth to earn his entrance into heaven. So the man thought about it for a few minutes and then finally responded, "Well, there was that one time where I stood up for a young woman who was being harassed by a motorcycle gang." And St. Peter was pretty impressed and said, "Please tell me more. What happened?" And the man said, "Well, there were about 8 guys, and so I singled out the biggest, baddest looking guy, covered in tattoos and piercings, and I reached up and I grabbed his nose ring and I ripped it out of his nose and I threw it on the ground and said, 'You leave her alone or you deal with me.'" And Peter is really impressed at this time, and he says, "But tell me, when did this happen?" And the man responded, "About 2 minutes ago." Perhaps some of us here this morning have acted a bit foolishly without thinking through the consequences, and that's exactly what happens in the book of Jonah. Now, most of us grew up hearing the story of Jonah and the whale. And actually, it should probably be called Jonah and the Large Fish because the word whale appears nowhere in the text. But what we probably didn't hear was the backdrop or the context in which this story takes place. You see, there was a group of people in Holy Scripture we read about called the Assyrians. And the Assyrians continually invaded Israel, killing their men and taking their women and children captive. In other words, the Assyrians made life miserable for the Israelites, year after year after year, until eventually they became Israel's sworn enemy. And it's during this time period that the book of Jonah was written. Now, Jonah was an Israelite, and God tells Jonah to take a message to the great city of Nineveh. And Nineveh was the largest city and the capital of Assyria. So you can just imagine what's going through Jonah's mind at this point. Take a message to Nineveh? The Assyrians, our worst enemy? You've got to be kidding me. You want me to go into the center of the beast and do something good for them? Now imagine for a moment, the biggest Texas A&M fan you know, the person who bleeds maroon and white, the faithful Aggie whose entire family has gone to A&M and wouldn't dare to think about going to any other school, and then asking that same person to travel from College Station to the University of Texas in Austin into enemy territory and to share the Aggie's playbook with the Longhorns. Now multiply that Aggie's feelings by 100, and we might begin to scratch the surface of Jonah's reluctance. Jonah wants no part of this crazy plan. And so what does he do? He hops on a boat and sails in the exact opposite direction. And of course, this leads Jonah on an amazing journey, which includes him being thrown overboard from a ship, swallowed by a large fish for 3 days, and finally spit up on the shore at the very place he started running from God. But what happens at the end of Jonah's story, the part we read today, shocks everyone, especially Jonah. When God asks Jonah to go to Nineveh a second time, he finally listens and goes. And he ends up giving one of the worst sermons in the entire Bible. This is what he says: "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." That's it. An 8-word sermon. But here's the crazy thing. All of the Ninevites listen to Jonah and they respond. With this 8-word sermon, Jonah accomplishes more than any other prophet in the entire Bible, and everyone in the entire city of Nineveh, all 120,000 people, put on sackcloth and repent. Now, someone came up to me after one of the earlier services today and said, "You see, what's so wrong with an 8-word sermon?" But when the Ninevites listen to God, Jonah's not happy about it. In fact, he's angry that God has been so merciful and kind to the Assyrians. He tells God, "That's why I didn't go to Nineveh in the first place, because I knew that you were a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." In other words, Jonah couldn't accept the possibility that God's idea of justice might not match up with his own. Jonah reminds us that God doesn't keep track of things the way we do. Instead, we live in a dualistic world, which tends to view people as either good or bad, as saints or sinners, as us versus them. But the book of Jonah breaks down all of these labels by reminding us that God's grace and compassion is extended to everyone, and maybe especially to those whom we have decided are not on God's side. So it turns out the book of Jonah is not just about some stubborn man who gets swallowed by a large fish, but it's about God's unconditional love, mercy, and grace. Throughout Holy Scripture, Jesus is constantly sharing parables with people to describe God's radical grace. And these parables stepped on toes, and they push people beyond their limits, and they continue to do the same thing today, don't they? That's because there's something inherently unfair about the notion of grace. God doesn't spend a lot of time deciding who is worthy and who isn't. God doesn't always give us what we deserve, but he always gives us exactly what we need. Like Jonah, when we forget this and we start to complain, perhaps we've forgotten where we stand. Like Jonah, we may begin to think that we are righteous prophets sent to pronounce judgment on the evil Ninevites, instead of remembering the truth that from where God sits, we are all broken and sinful people. We are all Ninevites. But I don't think that's exactly how God sees us, because those are human labels full of human judgments. From where God sits, I imagine we look much more like lost and hurting children in desperate need of his mercy and his grace. The surprising good news found in the book of Jonah is that no matter who you are or where you've been, God loves you and comes to meet you exactly where you are, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has already done for you. And I don't think we can hear this message enough, because everything around us tells us the exact opposite, that love is conditional, that love must be earned, that love is based upon what we do. But the truth is, God loves you and me right now. Not the people we're trying to be, or the people we promised to be in 2018, but the people we are right now. Today, may we remember and embrace this good news. And like Jonah, may we be empowered to take this message out into the world and share it with everyone, including all the people we disagree with, including all the people we don't like, all the Ninevites in our lives. And may we rejoice in the fact that God loves us and offers us his grace even when we don't deserve it. Amen.